The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Joining us all the way from China now is Brock Silvers. He's Kaiyuan Capital's Managing Director, live from Shanghai. It's time for Voice from China. Chinese Vice President Wang Qishan sought to reassure the world's business and political elite about China's economy at the World Economic Forum 2 days ago. It was the highlight of a broader Chinese charm offensive this year in Davos. Brock, welcome. In recent years, Beijing's top leaders have used the platform at Davos to try to present China as a business-friendly champion of globalization, even without the U.S. president. What did Mr. Wang, you think, seek to put out to the global community via his speech? And did he effectively make China's case?
I think the speech was mostly useful for PR purposes. In Wang's case, he was reassuring markets that China is still okay, and he was outlining China's generalized opposition to U.S. trade goals. And, of course, China still supports a global trading system that has done very well by it. And it worked because Wang Qishan is a smart and sophisticated executive, but the message was really starkly different from the reality. China's economy is slowing. Beijing is working frantically to bolster it. China accepts that the old trading system has probably ended and a new one's being negotiated. They're working very hard to appease the U.S. and reach a deal, and none of this really came through in the speech.
Okay, moving on, Scott Kennedy, who is a China expert at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Scott told the South China Morning Post that Mr. Wang's speech was surprising because it reflected the central government's official policy to adopt reforms at its own pace. Was it surprising to you?
Well, it wasn't really surprising. I think, again, this reflects kind of a traditional Chinese posture. China won't be pushed. It won't be bullied. It will remain resolute and so on. But in reality, I think Wang Qishan understands that the economy is in a perilous situation. And the trade war isn't the cause of the slowdown, but it does really exacerbate it. Now, in the end, China is definitely going to offer Washington a set of reforms. And some of those reforms Beijing will think are major concessions. Will it be enough to appease the Trump guys, Trump, Ross, Lighthizer, et cetera? I think this is really the core of Scott Kennedy's concerns that perhaps it won't be enough.
Did the absence, though, of a key U.S. delegation in Davos place more pressure on the Chinese Vice Premier, Liu He? And do you think that pressure is going to build up when he visits Washington for trade talks next week?
Well, there was already tremendous pressure on Liu He's trip, I think, regardless of anything that could have been done or said at Davos. There are only a few weeks remaining to the ceasefire, and I think execs from both countries are in daily contact trying to hammer something out. But I think we really have no reason to think right now that deep progress has been made. The U.S. is still focused on tech and IP, and I think China's been somewhat resistant on that front. To me, a major breakthrough seems unlikely, and I think by March 1st, the best we may hope for could be a minor deal and a ceasefire extension. So that probably does mean that there's a significant amount of pressure on Liu He right now.
He's Brock Silvers, Kaiyuan Capital's Managing Director. It is 19 minutes past 5. You're listening to Voice from China. Now, this week, Brock, China announced its economy expanded at its slowest pace in almost three decades at 6.6%. And this escalated fears of a possible downturn in global growth, as well as gloomy forecasts from the IMF, which earlier predicted the global economy would grow at 3.5% this year and 3.6% next year. So the spillover effects of the trade war seem to have affected sentiments. But when do you expect China's GDP growth to find a floor?
Well, look, I think second quarter would be the absolute earliest, but everything really depends on the stimulus measures that have been input and the ones that are still to come. If that doesn't take or is slower than anticipated, the slowdown could extend it well into the second half of the year. But look, the real question for me isn't when the slowdown ends, mm-hmm. but what will growth look like when it does end? And I think we've entered a new economic phase for China, and a return to the sort of outdated growth rates of yesteryear might be unlikely.
And if we brought it down to the micro level, to what extent, Brock, could the slowdown affect the individual Chinese citizen? Is there still support for consumer spending in the retail sector, which could mean a net positive for trade, investment and tourism in a knock-on effect for Singapore? So we break it down. What do you think will be the likely effect on the individual Chinese citizen?
Well, on a smaller level, consumer spending still seems to be holding up. Restaurant and shops are basically still doing okay, but bigger ticket consumer spending is faltering. And, you know, take autos, for example, which is a sector that has really hit some rocky times. Consumers are nervously avoiding debt, trying to pay down existing debt, and I think this may have some unfortunate impact for tourism flows to Singapore.
And what kind of measures could we see from the Chinese government to spur business activity? Which sectors do you think policymakers are likely to pump money into?
Well, Beijing is clearly unnerved by recent data like the rest of us, and is now trying all sorts of stimulus measures short of direct monetary easing. We started with some bank RRR reserve rate ratio cuts. We've moved on to some PBOC activities. I think we'll also see a good deal of state-sponsored infrastructure in 2019. And as a last resort, we still have monetary easing, the lowering of interest rates.
Brock, thank you as always for joining us. He's Brock Silvers, Kaiyun Capital's Managing Director, joining us live from Shanghai. You've been listening to Voice from China.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.